Nation, where Washington comes to talk. News now.
Setting the stage for a Supreme Court fight. I'm Pam Puso, Fox News. Multiple sources tell Fox News that President Trump plans to nominate Judge Amy Coney Barrett to fill the seat on the Supreme Court left vacant by Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
The president himself would not confirm that Friday afternoon when addressing reporters at Joint Base Andrews following a campaign event in Atlanta, but he did say this.
Well, I haven't said it was her, but she is outstanding, but they're all outstanding. They're all very outstanding people.
Barrett, a former Notre Dame professor, clerk for Justice Antonin Scalia, and Seventh Circuit Appeals Court judge, was considered a couple of years ago when President Trump ended up going with Brett Kavanaugh.
Fox's Jessica Rosenthal. Senate Democrats who oppose seating a justice before the November election are expected to press the nominee to recuse herself if the court hears a case that could impact the election's outcome. Earlier this week, the president refused to commit to a peaceful transfer of power, pointing to potential mail-in ballot fraud. A third night of protest in Kentucky in response to a grand jury decision not to charge the police officers who killed Breonna Taylor earlier this year. Fox's Mike Tobin is in Louisville.
There were a few interactions with police. The demonstrators were told to stick to the sidewalks. They didn't stick to the sidewalks. The demonstration was declared unlawful. Police showed up in riot gear. I'd call it light riot gear, batons at the ready, riot shields, things of that nature.
Taylor's family is demanding that authorities release all body cam footage, police files, and transcripts of the grand jury proceedings. A developing story out of Lebanon, where the prime minister designate has resigned amid efforts to form a new government. The country is roiled in economic crisis, made worse by last month's catastrophic explosion at a port in Beirut. America's listening to Fox News.
Hi, I'm Dennis Miller from the Dennis Miller Option, which is my podcast. I always assume once they gave it that title, they pretty much had to, well, they had to call me to host it.
But not every cause is the end of the world as we know it. And geez, we're turning our things that we usually went to into the belly of the beast.
I'm talking politics, pop culture, current events, pretty much anything else that pops into my head. It's sort of stream of consciousness. Listen and subscribe to the Dennis Miller Option for free.
On Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows.
I love your new deck, Anne.
Thanks, John. Long Fence took 20% off.
Wow, wish they gave that deal on fences.
They'll give you 20% off your new fence, too.
Wait, so Long Fence takes 20% off any deck or fence?
Yep, they'll come to your house and find out exactly what you want and give you a free estimate.
Well, enjoy your great deck.
You're leaving the party?
I'm gonna go call Long Fence.
Get 20% off any deck or fence at longfence.com.
Suspects are accused of plotting to attack multiple sites, including the White House.
Two men are in federal custody, accused of plotting an ISIS-inspired attack on the White House and other landmarks, including the New York Stock Exchange and Trump Tower, using bombs or guns or both. Court records show the FBI moved in, based in part on encrypted conversations, where the suspects are accused of professing loyalty to ISIS and hatred of America. Jalen Christopher Molina of Texas and Christopher Sean Matthews of South Carolina, both charged with conspiracy to provide material support to a terrorist organization. Lisa Brady, Fox News.
A terror investigation has been opened in Paris after two people were injured in a stabbing yesterday. The violence took place outside the former offices of the satirical newspaper Charlie Hebdo, where 12 people were killed in an extremist attack back in 2015. Two suspects are under arrest, although their connection is unclear. The main suspect was arrested a month ago for carrying a screwdriver, but was not on police radar for Islamic radicalization. A controversial film leads to another call for an investigation into Netflix.
The Parents Television Council is calling for an investigation into Netflix's content that sexualizes children. The request comes after the streamer's controversy surrounding the film Cuties, a French coming-of-age story of an 11-year-old girl who looks for acceptance within a group of girls in a dance troupe. The movie sparked a backlash with the hashtag #CancelNetflix after the streamer put out a poster that depicted the girls in provocative dance poses. They eventually pulled the poster and apologized, but the movie remains. The director and Netflix defended the film, calling it social commentary. The PTC cited shows like Big Mouth and Sex Education as examples of other shows sexualizing kids. Michelle Polino, Fox News.
And I'm Pam Puzo, Fox News.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage, $75 per month level rate for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110 per month, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rate guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates available for you as well. At Termbusters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call today for a quote at 1-800-569-5440. That's 1-800-569-5440. You're probably paying more than you should. Call Termbusters, 1-800-569-5440, or visit our website at termbusters.net. Remember, 1-800-569-5440. Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting. Exam required to qualify.
WMEL traffic, I'm Michelle Murray. Earlier accidents on the outer loop of the Beltway before Georgia Avenue cleared. All lanes have been blocked for quite some time, but fortunately all lanes are now open. Earlier accidents on Central Avenue eastbound at Hill Road cleared, and all of those lanes have been reopened as well, but now getting reports of a new crash northbound on the Baltimore-Washington Parkway after 193. Watch out for slow traffic approaching the accident scene. Also do watch out for some construction on 66 westbound at Route 29 in Centerville headed towards Business 234 in the left lane. Now from GarageRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
It's a bit of a dreary Saturday morning as expected. Mostly cloudy, patchy fog, and scattered showers. The best chance for rain continues east of the I-95 corridor. Highs today will reach the mid-70s, back down to the mid-60s tonight with mostly cloudy skies. Then tomorrow bumps things up a bit, reaching 80 with high humidity. Mostly dry, a stray shower possible. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Rachel Kay with the Stormwatch 7 weather team.
There is no better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. To add to this week's excitement, DraftKings has a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every run, pass, and catch means more with DraftKings. It's simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. DraftKings has paid out billions of dollars to winners since 2012, so they know a thing or two about cold hard cash. Download the DraftKings app now and use code DCWINS. For a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Don't miss out on the Week 3 action. Enter code DCWINS to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. That's code DCWINS only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Turn your used car into a life-changing opportunity for a person of differing abilities or injured veteran. Your donation helps provide job training and career placement for adults, inclusive summer camp experiences for children, and specialized healing retreats for injured veterans. Melwood will pick up your car, your donation is tax deductible, and you get to help build a better future for people in our community. You don't even have to be there for the pickup. Grab your title and call 1-877-MELWOOD or go to melwood.org, M-E-L-W-O-O-D.org.
Whether you're buying a home or trying to lower your interest rate, finding the right mortgage company is often stressful and time-consuming. Listen this Saturday to the Mortgage Radio Show at 1 p.m. and now on Sunday at 3 p.m. The Mortgage Radio Show is your trusted source for mortgage news. Every weekend, host Teresa Strasser and Sean Metter will give you helpful tools for finding the right mortgage product to fit your needs. So tune into WMAL every Saturday at 1 p.m. or Sunday at 3 p.m. for the latest rates and information from Network Capital Funding here on WMAL.
Now, the Saturday morning update.
Good morning. It is the Saturday morning update. I'm Rick Fowler, Jeff Wolf behind the console, Jane Houtman, our producer this morning. We are 37 days to the election, 3 days to the first presidential debate, and 11 hours to the announcement of the next Supreme Court Justice nominee of President Trump. Now, all odds are on Judge Amy Coney Barrett. Mainstream media is all running with it as though it were fact, and the reports are based on reports from CNN and from the New York Times. The New York Times quoting six sources, supposedly close to the president, that remain unnamed. But apparently, according to the reports, it will be Judge Amy Coney Barrett, a former law clerk to Justice Antonin Scalia. Now, she was nominated to the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals by President Trump in May of 2017, confirmed by the Senate October 31st of 2017. She was a professor of law at Notre Dame Law School. She's taught civil procedure, constitutional law, and statutory interpretations. She is a University of Notre Dame law professor, as we mentioned. She resides in South Bend, Indiana. She is married, and she has seven children. Five are biological, two adopted from Haiti. And we're going to get into a detailed conversation very shortly with Ilya Shapiro. He's at the Cato Institute, and he's actually written a book just out this week on the Supreme Court and the new nomination. So we're going to talk with Ilya about that very shortly. Also, Jim Trustee will join us later on in this hour, and we'll get a read from Jim Trustee on her opinions and what could happen on Roe versus Wade. That seems to be one of the main concerns of many in the media. So we'll talk with Jim Trustee about that later on. Also, John Gizzi will have the political implications as well. So a lot to come up on Amy Coney Barrett this morning. I wanted to mention that the president was out campaigning yesterday, and there's been a lot of talk about Joe Biden and kind of staying close to home in Wilmington, Delaware, and campaigning from the basement. President Trump made four appearances yesterday, and they weren't all in Washington. He started the day in Miami, went to Atlanta, came to Washington, had a meeting with supporters at the Trump Hotel, and then, after three events, flew down to Newport News for another event, a rally last night. And at that rally, this is how he addressed the nomination to come today.
5 o'clock tomorrow at the White House, we're going to be naming the nominee who hopefully will be on that court for 50 years. The only thing I can tell you for sure is it will be a woman.
So that's President Trump speaking last night at Newport News. And as I say, that was the fourth event of the day. Earlier, he was at the National Doral in Miami, and he participated at a Latinos for Trump roundtable. Then he moved on to Atlanta, Georgia, and he delivered remarks on black economic empowerment and announced the Platinum Plan.
In my first 3 years, we lifted 6.6 million people out of poverty, the largest poverty reduction of any president in the history of our country. I did more for the black community in 47 months than Joe Biden did in 47 years.
So that's President Trump making that announcement. Now, you may not have heard about this. I mean, I watched the entire 5 a.m. hour of CNN, and there was no mention whatsoever of the plans that the president announced yesterday. And he went into some further detail on what the Platinum Plan would mean.
And I'm here today to announce a brand new plan to deliver more opportunity, more security, more fairness, and more prosperity to black communities. We call it the Platinum Plan. Platinum Plan. And that's a contract with black Americans, and it's going to be something that people talk about for a long time to come. If you vote Republican over the next 4 years, we will create 3 million new jobs for the black community. Open 500,000 new black-owned businesses. Increase access to capital in black communities by $500 billion. And this includes investing in community development financial institutions and minority depository institutions.
And that's just part of the Platinum Plan that the president announced yesterday in Atlanta. And I did want to get one more note in from that event yesterday. This is the president speaking about neighborhoods being safer and more peaceful.
Build up peaceful and safer urban neighborhoods with the highest standards of and you know this, of policing. We want the highest standards. We have to have highest standards of policing. Bring even greater fairness to the justice system. We did criminal justice reform. We remember that. Even greater, we will create a national clemency project to right wrongful prosecutions and to pardon individuals who have reformed their life.
So that is President Trump speaking yesterday in Atlanta about his new platinum plan. And we've got an action-packed show coming up. As I mentioned, we'll talk to Ilya Shapiro at the Cato Institute next about the expected nomination of Judge Amy Comey Barrett later on today by President Trump to the Supreme Court. Also, we will be speaking with Jim Trusty. We've got John Gizzi coming up from Newsmax.com. Also, Cheryl Atkison. We'll talk with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer and KT McFarland. So we've got you covered all the way around this morning. And we've got you covered on the traffic and weather as well. And Michelle Murray is in the WMAL Traffic Center.
Problems on the Baltimore-Washington Parkway northbound at 193. All lanes are currently blocked with a serious accident there, so you will want to plan an alternate route for the time being. 95 should be a good choice. Earlier accident on the outer loop of the Beltway before Georgia Avenue cleared. All lanes have been reopened and no other issues reported on the Beltway. There is a road closure of Beach Drive between Tilden Street and Blakedon Avenue due to storm damage, so do be aware of that. Now from GarageRepair.com, the WMAL Storm Watch 7 forecast.
It's a bit of a dreary Saturday morning, as expected. Mostly cloudy, patchy fog, and scattered showers. The best chance for rain continues east of the I-95 corridor. Highs today will reach the mid-70s, back down to the mid-60s tonight with mostly cloudy skies. Then tomorrow bumps things up a bit, reaching 80 with high humidity. Mostly dry, a stray shower possible. I'm ABC7 meteorologist Rachel Kay with the Stormwatch 7 weather team.
63 degrees in the nation's capital at 6:16 on the Saturday morning update.
At the Roselle Center for Healing, we care about your health and want to help you take your health in a new direction, far from drugs and surgery. Knowledge is the key to optimal wellness and control of your health. We offer free health education on chronic health conditions and natural integrative medicine treatments. Register for free today.
Join us online for our virtual presentation on how to boost your immune system on Wednesday, September 30th at 7 p.m. Space is limited, so register today. Call 703-698-7117 or visit rosellecare.com.
This is Dr. Tom Roselle. After 43 years of practice and over a million patient visits, the Roselle Center for Healing knows what works and knows how you can take control of your health and wellness. My team of doctors practice 21st century integrative medicine. Whether you suffer from chronic pain and fatigue, allergies or headaches, we can help. Take charge of your health before it's too late. Make an appointment today. Call 703-698-7117 or visit online at rosellecare.com. That's rosellecare.com.
Sometimes in business, the unexpected comes calling. But even in, I'm going to say it, unprecedented times, don't bounce back. Bounce forward with Comcast Business. Bounce forward fast with internet speeds up to a gig, with the flexibility to update your bandwidth in just a few clicks, and with security solutions that help keep your connected devices protected. Be fast, be flexible, be ready for what's next, and bounce forward. Help your business to bounce forward with this amazing offer. Get a powerful and reliable internet solution from Comcast Business, starting at $69.99 a month for 24 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, for a limited time, ask how to get a $500 prepaid card. Call or go online today to find out more. Offer ends 9/27/2020. Restrictions apply. Limited to new Comcast Business 100 megabits per second internet customers. Early termination fee applies. After 24 months, monthly service charge increases to $99.99 a month. May not be combined with other offers. Actual speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Equipment installation, taxes, and fees extra, subject to change.
It is the Saturday morning update, the Saturday that President Trump will announce his candidate for a successor to Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. The president to make that announcement this afternoon at 5 p.m. And we're joined by Ilya Shapiro. He is the Director of Constitutional Studies at the Cato Institute. And he's authored the new book just out this week, Supreme Disorder, Judicial Nominations and the Politics of America's Highest Court. Ilya, thanks for being back with us this week.
My pleasure. Good to be on.
The big question is, at 5 o'clock this afternoon, the president makes an announcement. Many people think it's going to be Amy Coney Barrett. And if it is, what do you see as her biggest vulnerabilities? We know that any candidate of Donald Trump's vulnerability among Democrats, but what about among possible Republicans who are on the fence?
I don't think that she'll be very controversial for Republicans. Maybe for Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski, who are the most outspoken pro-choice Republicans, and have also declared that they're uneasy with having a vote before a new president is inaugurated, or at least before the election. But it seems like with the margin that the Republicans have in the Senate, I think there are the votes.
Tell us a little bit about the history. We've heard so many different versions depending on who's talking, whether it's a Republican or a Democrat, about whether it's appropriate to make this nomination at this time, whether it should be delayed until after the election and inauguration of a new president. But when you have the president and the Senate of the same party, have there been instances in the past where there's been a delay?
So there have been 29 times where there's been a vacancy in a presidential election year. All 29 of those times, the president has made a nomination. We're about to get the 30th. When the Senate and the White House are controlled by the same party, that nominee has been confirmed 17 out of 19 times. When different parties, it's only been a confirmation once and 10 times. So that explains what we expected to see with the Garland scenario 4 years ago. And similarly now, the expectation is, at least based on history, it all comes down to politics, but the expectation is that this nominee will be confirmed.
One of the biggest concerns among Democrats and Democratic voters is whether Roe v. Wade would be reversed. If that were to happen, it's not as though that law is completely overturned across the country. It reverts down to the state level, is my understanding. Can you explain that a little more in detail?
Right. Well, the governing law on abortion is actually Planned Parenthood versus Casey, the 1992 case that says that a state can't impose an undue burden on the right to abortion that Roe recognized in 1973. There probably aren't more than one or two votes on the court to overturn Roe, so I don't think it's really a concern with this particular nomination. But if in future Roe and Casey were reversed, yeah, that would just mean that it no longer becomes protected as a federal constitutional rights, and it goes to the state. Many states in recent years, or even beyond that, have put in their own state constitutional or statutory protections for abortion. I think in most states, it wouldn't really change things. There certainly would be an outright ban in maybe 5 or 6 or 8 states, probably not much more, and restrictions in others. So you'd have different regulations, different rules in different states.
We've heard the threats from Democrats of possibly packing the court should they get in power in the Senate. Franklin Delano Roosevelt tried it during his term as president. He failed. What would the real eventuality of that happening be?
Well, so first of all, it would take a simple act of Congress. This is not a constitutional issue. The number of justices we've had, as few as 5, as many as 10, although it's been 9 since 1869, so 150 years, what it would take would be for the Democrats would have to win the Senate, they'd have to win the White House, and then they'd have to remove the filibuster, the legislative filibuster in the Senate. There is no longer a filibuster possible of judicial nominee, but regular legislation is still subject to that threshold. To proceed to a final vote in the Senate, it needs to pass 60 votes. Democrats could get rid of that with a simple majority vote, and then pass a law adding however many justices they want. Historically, you mentioned the FDR example in 1937. There are others from the 19th century. Plans to expand or change the size of the court, whether successful or not, have cost both the country but also the party that pushed them a lot. And certainly the FDR example, the most recent example that this was tried, even after having been reelected in a landslide, FDR was, the Democrats lost 80 seats in the House and 8 in the Senate after this failed court packing scheme. So, again, it's purely a matter of political calculation. unclear whether they would do it regardless of whether Mitch McConnell pushes through this nominee, and unclear whether they would have the vote. Certainly some of the more moderate Democrats, I'm not sure whether they would go along with this.
There's been a lot of controversy about the timeline. Is it a rush job to get this done? Now, Sandra Day O'Connor and Ruth Bader Ginsburg were approved in a shorter period of time than that between now and Election Day. But tell us what the process will be moving forward once the announcement is made at 5 o'clock this afternoon.
Well, constitutionally or legally speaking, there are no rules. They could vote immediately after, the Senate could, after the announcement. But what's really going to happen is they'll hold hearings, they'll do background investigations. The hearings will probably be mid-October. I've heard the week of October 12th or the week of October 19th. There would be a vote in the Judiciary Committee, then it goes to the floor of the Senate. They could do it before the election. It would be quick. I think it's 39 days tomorrow until the election. That would be quick. That would be certainly sooner than any confirmation since 1981. Sandra Day O'Connor's took 33 days, I believe. But again, there are no rules for this. And of course, Amy Coney Barrett was confirmed to the Seventh Circuit just 3 years ago. So she's gone through this process. There was some vetting. Mitch McConnell has let himself some leeway. He hasn't guaranteed a vote necessarily before the election, and there'll be some political calculations there.
Elia Shapiro, the author of Supreme Disorder, Judicial Nomination in the Politics of America's Highest Court, and the director of Constitutional Studies at the Cato Institute. Elia, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure. Take care.
We're at 626. It is the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL.
At the Rozelle Center for Healing, we care about your health and want to help you take your health in a new direction, far from drugs and surgery. Knowledge is the key to optimal wellness and control of your health. We offer free health education on chronic health conditions and natural integrative medicine treatments. Register for free today.
Join us online for our virtual presentation on how to boost your immune system on Wednesday, September 30th at 7 p.m. Space is limited, so register today. Call 703-698-7117 or visit rozellecare.com.
This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. After 43 years of practice and over a million patient visits, the Rozelle Center for Healing knows what works and knows how you can take control of your health and wellness. My team of doctors practice 21st century integrative medicine. Whether you suffer from chronic pain and fatigue, allergies or headaches, we can help. Take charge of your health before it's too late. Make an appointment today. Call 703-698-7117 or visit online at rozellecare.com. That's rozellecare.com.
Based on the recent stock market slide, do you feel your money and investments are safe? Would a repeat of the market losses you experienced earlier in the year or in 2002 and 2008 derail your family's retirement plans? It's time to make a U-turn on your retirement strategy. This Saturday at 5 p.m., tune in to the U-Turn Equity Financial Hour with Tucker and Blake. They'll cover these financial topics and, more importantly, share little-known strategies to keep your money safe and discuss tax-free income. Join the conversation Saturday at 5 on WMAL.
Sometimes in business, the unexpected comes calling. But even in, I'm going to say it, unprecedented times, don't bounce back. Bounce forward with Comcast Business. Bounce forward fast with internet speeds up to a gig, with the flexibility to update your bandwidth in just a few clicks, and with security solutions that help keep your connected devices protected. Be fast, be flexible, be ready for what's next, and bounce forward. Help your business to bounce forward with this amazing offer. Get a powerful and reliable internet solution from Comcast Business. Starting at $69.99 a month for 24 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, for a limited time, ask how to get a $500 prepaid card. Call or go online today to find out more. Offer ends 9/27/2020. Restrictions apply. Limited to new Comcast Business 100 megabits per second internet customers. Early termination fee applies. After 24 months, monthly service charge increases to $99.99 a month. May not be combined with other offers. Actual speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Equipment installation, taxes, and fees extra, subject to change.
Hi, I'm Patrick Fingles, owner of Nulick Home Design. I'd like to share what one of our roofing customers said. We knew we needed to replace our roof, but we had just done a kitchen remodel and the whole thing was a nightmare. So we were apprehensive about doing another project. We kept hearing Nulick say how easy they make it, so we decided to give them a shot. What a difference. They came out, it was total transparency. They gave us a 3D image of our house, complete with a list of measurements, and the pricing broke down, so we knew exactly what we were paying for. And they have a great price guarantee. It was super easy. Find out why over 30,000 homeowners have trusted New Look to do their roof. Through September, save 50% on all roofing materials, plus qualify for interest-free financing until 2022. Call 800-279-5300. That's 800-279-5300. NewLookHomeDesign.com. While we can't make everything easy, we can make roofing easy.
In the news at 6:30, President Trump is expected to announce today that he is nominating Judge Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court. The president told reporters Friday evening he had made a decision but did not reveal his pick. According to multiple sources, including the White House telling GOP lawmakers that Barrett was the choice, even before Trump unveils his pick, conservative groups and congressional allies laying the groundwork for a swift confirmation process for Barrett. More than 100 people gathered overnight outside a downtown church in Louisville, Kentucky, despite an overnight curfew. People remaining largely peaceful on the sidewalk surrounding the First Unitarian Church. That church had offered refuge to demonstrators after a curfew the previous night. There was no sign of a major police presence after the 9 o'clock curfew took effect, the third straight night of protests in Louisville since the grand jury decided Wednesday not to charge any police officers in Breonna Taylor's death. President Trump, trying to chip away at his Democratic rival's advantage with black and Hispanic voters, wrapped up a two-day campaign swing. He was in Florida yesterday to appeal to Hispanic voters, then on to Georgia for a black empowerment event. He ended the day in Newport News, Virginia. Trump's campaign has been struggling to make headway against Joe Biden, but the campaign believes the president's support is growing among Latinos, including in Florida. 6:31, it's time for a check of the traffic and weather here on WMAL.
Earlier accident on the Baltimore-Washington Parkway northbound after 193 has been cleared. Travel lanes now open. However, an accident now being reported in Tyson's Corner on Route 7. The Leesburg Bypass eastbound, the ramp to the eastbound Dulles Greenway is on the right side. Stay to the left at the bottom of the ramp to watch out for that accident. Traveling on 66 eastbound between Fair Oaks and 123, look out for some road work in the left lane. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
It's a bit of a dreary Saturday morning, as expected. Mostly cloudy, patchy fog, and scattered showers. The best chance for rain continues east of the I-95 corridor. Highs today will reach the mid-70s, back down to the mid-60s tonight with mostly cloudy skies. Then tomorrow bumps things up a bit, reaching 80 with high humidity. Mostly dry, a stray shower possible. I'm ABC7 meteorologist Rachel Kay with the Stormwatch 7 weather team.
63 degrees in the nation's capital at 6:33.
We never thought 2020 was going to be this challenging, did we? Hi, it's Jonathan Cotton with the Good Feet Store, and during this difficult time, we need hope. We need a kind of hope that is not just wishful thinking, but rather hope defined as a confident expectation. Let's see hope when we see so many neighbors leaving their homes to exercise and pursue a healthy lifestyle. Let's see hope when we see diverse groups marching together in pursuit of justice and equality. Let's see hope when we see faithful police officers pursue their calling of caring for their neighbors and communities. We have a lot of outstanding problems in our world today, but let's see hope and have hope. Let's work together, play together, and let's dream together. At the Good Feet Store, we would love to help you find hope again. Let's see if we can help you work better, play better, and start dreaming without your feet getting in the way. The Good Feet Store is located in Fairfax, Leesburg, and Rockville, or visit us at goodfeet.com.
This is Mike Donovan, host of Not Free America on Sundays at 10 a.m. right here on WMAL FM 105.9 in the nation's capital. This weekend on Not Free America Radio, economic disaster looms as our GDP crashes. What does losing a third of our economy really mean? Meanwhile, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo takes quarantining travelers to a new extreme, and we talk facts about qualified immunity in the American police state. Join us Sundays at 10 a.m. right here on Not Free America Radio.
You are listening to the Saturday Morning Update, and it's good to have you with us, and it's always good to have Jennifer Harper join us. She writes Inside the Beltway at the Washington Times. Good morning.
Good morning, Rick.
Well, there are often marches on Washington when the weather is good. There is a march on the Mall today. Tell us about it.
Oh, absolutely. This is a very unique march. I think probably some of our listeners already know about it, but Evangelical Pastor Franklin Graham is going to lead a pretty well unprecedented march. It's called a prayer march along the National Mall, beginning at 11 o'clock this morning. And what they're doing is they've established six different historical places along the mall, and they're going to begin at the Lincoln Memorial and go 1.7 miles, I do believe, to the U.S. Capitol. And at each of these spots, and this includes the World War II Memorial, the Museum of History, so forth and so on, they're going to pray. They're asking people just to pray for the nation. It's very simple, and this is what Mr. Graham, how he describes it. He says, the Washington Prayer March 2020 event is a dedicated prayer march that is focused solely on asking God to heal our land. It is not a protest or a political event, and we are asking participants to not bring signs in support of any candidate or party. He says, unite in prayer for our nation. Together, let's seek God's forgiveness, healing, and intervention in our divided country. And if you can't make it to our nation's capital, you can watch online. And yes, indeed, it is going to be streamed live. It's a two-hour event, and the streamed event actually is going to be hosted by Mike Huckabee and Sissy Graham Lynch. That is Mr. Graham's daughter and the granddaughter of the late Billy Graham. She currently serves on President Trump's Faith Advisory Council. If you want to see this, peek in on it, you can go to prayermarch2020.com. Very simple. Everything's right there, prayermarch2020.com. So that's a more cheerful march, I think, than we've seen in maybe a couple decades. How about that?
So Jane Fonda is hosting an event today as well. I don't imagine that it's sort of a celebration of the Trump nominee for the Supreme Court, though.
Oh, my gosh, no. This is actually Kamala, Jane, Hillary, Nancy. They're all going to be there. This is a very, very sizable virtual event today, and they are celebrating, of course, Joseph R. Biden's campaign, and this is feminists like you wouldn't believe, and they're called a supermajority. That is the name of their group. It's a progressive women's group. And they have organized a big virtual event for today called Supercharge Women All In. And there are appearances by 60 different women. And we're talking about Senator Kamala Harris. Bernie Sanders will be there, along with Elizabeth Warren, Nancy Pelosi, Representative Ayanna Pressley, Hillary Clinton, and Jane Fonda, Gloria Steinem. I mean, they're really going all out for this thing. And here's what they say. What we need now, ladies, is space to recharge, to supercharge. This is a get-out-the-vote effort, actually, and they're saying supermajority has your back with a virtual event that will have you and thousands of women across the country laughing, singing, dancing, and getting you right and ready to vote. Well, that's what they say anyway. If you're curious about all of this, because they're going to be around, and I must tell you right away that they are fully funded by George Soros. So if you're curious about this group, it's supermajority.com. The co-founders of the organization include Cecil Richards. You might remember her from being the president of Planned Parenthood. And a lady named Jen Poole. She is the executive director of the National Domestic Workers Alliance. There are quite a few ladies there, but they have raised $2.5 million for their cause, so also something to watch.
Can't think of anything better that I would rather do today than to sit around and watch the entire event.
Okay.
So if somebody opts not to watch that event, but says, get the car, take a drive up into the Pennsylvania Dutch country, the Amish, I understand there's a chance you may see a Trump-Pence bumper sticker on one of the horse and buggies.
Oh, yes. This is turning into a big deal. I think a lot of our listeners probably have seen some of this footage from several of these marches, public marches staged by the Amish. And, yes, these are horse and buggy And cow marches. It's incredible. You can see them. They're all online, all on YouTube and stuff, because they're very charming. They're just done by folks on the street. But it shows you that this is actually an emerging voter bloc, the Amish folk up there in Pennsylvania and Ohio. You have to remember, those are both very important swing states. They're battleground states. And according to the latest statistics, Rick, there are 100,000 Amish voters that are in Pennsylvania, and also another 100,000 in Ohio. And the very interesting thing you might not know, there is something called Amish PAC. Yes, this is a political action committee. It was founded in 2016 to support this voting bloc, and they are very motivated. This is what I talked to some of the organizers, and they said there is great stuff happening. Amish PAC is currently focused on running ads in small rural Amish newspapers and newsletters throughout Pennsylvania and Ohio. We are seeing an explosion of enthusiasm. You have to remember that the Amish, they are voting in favor of anyone who favors individual rights, religious freedom, less government, small businesses. Gee, kind of sounds like President Trump to me. So it's something to watch, and certainly a different dynamic than we've seen in a long time. And also the spokesman at Amish PAC said that for the first time they're having Amish women call the hotline to register to vote and to get more information. And they said they had never heard from the Amish women in 2016 when they were first founded. And they said, in addition, the Amish men are turning up. They are eager to begin registering their families, their workplaces, and those close to them. So it's just an interesting dynamic to think about amidst everything else that's going on.
Can you imagine if the whole election decision came down to the state of Pennsylvania and it was the 100,000 Amish votes that swung the whole thing to Trump?
You know, stranger things have happened. Let's watch for that, Rick. That's a good point.
We hear a lot about social media, the news that is carried on social media. And what are you finding when it comes to conservative news being reported in places like Facebook?
Well, this is actually very, very good news, and you have to remember that that the news, when it appears on social media, we don't think about it, but the audience out there is enormous. You have to remember, Facebook has 223 million users in the United States alone. That's 223 million users and 2.7 billion worldwide. That's according to Statista. That's an industry source, but there is a group that is, let's just say, they're trying to measure the audiences that get their news off of Facebook. There are a lot of them. And there's a group called NewsWhip. You haven't heard of them, but they're very interesting and very precise. They track all sorts of internet and social media traffic. Here is what they have to say. They measure how many what they call user engagements there are. That's simply the people that are interested in a news story on Facebook. And in the top 10 most prolific of the news organizations, this is what they say, conservative publications have surged into the top 10. And at the very top of the top 10 is none other than talk radio host, columnist Ben Shapiro. He founded the Daily Wire. This is a news organization, and it's a very good one, very thorough all the time. Well, guess how many user visits they had in the month of August alone? 104 million people were visiting that site. How about that? And in second place, Fox News, 77 million, over close to 78 million. And also new to the list, The Blaze, that was founded by Glenn Beck, and also Breitbart.com. The analysis itself, Rick, they say perhaps the most striking change this month, and they follow this month to month, is the greater proliferation of explicitly conservative publications in the top 10 with both Blaze and Breitbart. And so we have Ben Shapiro in first place. Second place is Fox News. CNN came in third, followed by NBC News, The Daily Mail, The Washington Post, The Blaze, Breitbart.com, The New York Times, and in last place, but still in that top 10, The New York Post. And so it's something to watch. But just remember that Ben Shapiro's site, The Daily Wire, that had 104 million people user engagements, as they call them, in the month of August alone.
Did you say Breitbart came in higher than the New York Times?
Yes, it did.
Sorry, I just find that amusing. So the liberal media outlets have been up in arms this week about some comments that President Trump made. When he was asked the question, would he commit to a peaceful transition, I think if you read between the lines, he was saying that he wasn't planning to lose. But nobody took it that way. So all the liberal media outlets are thinking that the president is going to call out the right-wing militia and that he's going to stay in the White House with the militia support. However, what do people think about the other side of the coin if Trump wins the election, what the liberal side will do?
Well, this sounds like a bad movie, actually, and you're 100% right about public opinion about President Trump, about what he's going to do if he doesn't win. And it's weeks ago, he already said, you know, I'll be on my way. That's what he said, like, maybe 3 weeks ago. But there's a poll, of course, this early in the morning. This is an Economist YouGov poll, which has asked Americans, do you think there are going to be riots and mass protests if President Trump wins re-election? Well, unfortunately, about three-quarters of Americans think that there will be riots. I'll break that down for you. 49% of U.S. adults say it is very likely there will be mass protests if President Trump wins re-election. That includes 52% of Republicans, 39% of independents, and 60% of Democrats, and another 25% overall say it is somewhat likely that there will be riots if he's reelected. 21% of Republicans, 28% of independents, and 26% of Democrats agree with that. 12% are not sure if there will be protests. They don't really know. But at the bottom of the poll, only about 14% say it's not likely there's going to be some form of a protest. And very similar numbers between all the demographics there. But again, this is an Economist YouGov poll, very current, September 13 through 15. So we'll see about the riots.
Jennifer Harper, Inside the Beltway at the Washington Times. You can follow her on Twitter at Harper Bulletin. Thank you very much. It is 6:47. We'll talk to Jim Trusty next, but first, Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
Several accidents to watch out for now. There is an accident now reported in Virginia, 95 southbound, south of the Marine Corps Base Quantico exit in the right lane, and also on the inner and outer loop of the Beltway at 450 Annapolis Road. On the inner loop, the two right lanes blocked, and on the outer loop, two left lanes blocked with this accident. The earlier accident on the BW Parkway northbound after 193 cleared, but there is an accident on Route 7 eastbound on the bypass on the ramp to the eastbound Dulles Greenway on the right side. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
It's a bit of a dreary Saturday morning as expected. Mostly cloudy, patchy fog, and scattered showers. The best chance for rain continues east of the I-95 corridor. Highs today will reach the mid-70s, back down to the mid-60s tonight with mostly cloudy skies. Then tomorrow bumps things up a bit, reaching 80 with high humidity. Mostly dry, a stray shower possible. I'm ABC7 meteorologist Rachel Kay with the Stormwatch 7 weather team.
It's 63 degrees in the nation's capital, 6:48 on the Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
Saturday morning update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. Jim Trusty joins us, partner at IFRA Law here in Washington. He is the former chief of the Organized Crime and Gang Section at the U.S. Department of Justice. Jim, good to have you with us.
Thanks, Rick. Thanks for having me again.
Controversial decision, Louisville, Kentucky. Three officers involved in the shooting that resulted in the death of Breonna Taylor. One officer charged with endangerment, but no officers charged in the death of Breonna. Wanted to get your take on that decision, on the reaction to that decision. And one thing I think that has been left out is that there was a $13 million settlement between the city of Louisville and the family of Breonna Taylor. So the city has taken some responsibility on this.
That's exactly right, and that may well be appropriate to kind of dispose of the civil part of it long before the criminal part is decided. But I have to say, I was really impressed with the Attorney General's press conference, Attorney General Cameron. I mean, this is the first black Attorney General in Kentucky history, the first Republican since, I think, the 1940s. And what I liked about him wasn't just the iconic nature of him being in the right place in the right time, but that he really talked, I think, very intelligently about things to do with justice. And he said, when you have a case, any case, that you have to assess each person individually and dispassionately, that it's evidence, not emotion. And that, again, for justice to serve anybody, it has to be individualized. You can't just assume every cop is a criminal or a person on the street is subject to lethal force just because they're having an altercation with the police. So I really like what he had to say. I think he said it very authoritatively. He owned the process in terms of talking about the grand jury. He talked about sifting through evidence. And, you know, that's the difference between, in my book, a politicized prosecutor, like some of the things we've seen around the country in the last couple of years, and someone who's doing the job right.
So in your tenure at the Department of Justice as the chief of the Organized Crime and Gang Section, I'm sure you were involved in various situations where you had a warrant, whether it was a no-knock warrant or another warrant to be served. Give us a sense of the situation, the chaos that can ensue when officers are serving a warrant.
Well, executing a search warrant or an arrest warrant in someone's house is probably one of the most dangerous and chaotic aspects of police work. I mean, it literally is the fog of war almost every time. Now, it's nice when a search warrant comes off very peacefully and nobody tries to destroy evidence and the police are polite and everything works out perfectly, and that happens a lot. But there's a lot of adrenaline, a lot of stress, and a lot of chaos. And I remember a specific case when I was at Organized Crime where we had a biker gang where we were taking down this whole biker gang in anticipation of them having what they called Murder Day. They were going to go around the country killing rival gang members. So we knew they were armed. We knew they were dangerous. We had a series of search warrants with ATF and FBI agents and Detroit police. And one of the search warrants, while it was being executed, one of the high-level guys of this biker gang fired four times at the entry team. And thankfully, nobody was killed. But there are stories like that around the country all the time. I mean, it's incredibly dangerous. And that's when they're doing everything right and when they're at the right place with the right team of entry and good legal justification. So it's a tough job, and that's probably the particular crucible that a lot of police have to go through.
Benjamin Crump is the attorney for Breonna Taylor's family. He made strong comments on Friday about the grand jury, the process, about the attorney general, and he is demanding the transcripts of the grand jury be released to the public for, quote, transparency. Tell us a little bit about how a grand jury operates, and would that type of a transcript be released?
Well, it won't be, and he knows that. And so that's really my starting point, the problem with all of this. Is this attorney knows that these are protected matters, that the grand jury has a lengthy history of being a secret proceeding where what happens in the grand jury doesn't become public. He's not serving anybody in any great way to just yell and scream about something that he literally knows is against the law, which is the disclosure of the grand jury. You know, the grand jury is designed to treat potential defendants fairly as a starting point, to not air dirty laundry of what was presented to a grand jury that could make people think that someone's committed a crime when they haven't. It's also to let witnesses testify freely and comfortably without safety or embarrassment concerns, and it's to protect the grand jurors themselves. So if they were ever to release this stuff publicly, just dump the transcripts out there for the media, it would be a terrible precedent. I mean, it would be against the law, so it's not going to happen. But it would really create a ripple effect across the country that's very negative in terms of a long-running institution that works reasonably well. So this attorney who knows better is grandstanding and setting up false expectations and catering to the emotion of the moment instead of doing his job.
Well, he was highly critical of the attorney general and I think questioning what type of evidence was presented. Tell us a little bit about how that works.
Well, sure. So the prosecutor has a responsibility in any case to go into the grand jury to present testimony of usually like a case agent or a detective in an honest way and to answer any questions that the grand jury has about the nature of that case. In the more intricate cases, like a police shooting, they tend to put on more live testimony. In other words, not just summary testimony. Well, in this case, it sounds like they put on everything but the kitchen sink. Let the grand jury hear an awful lot about, you know, from witnesses rather than just from police officers. So they had a real deep dive to evaluate all that information. And the attorney general in this case, or the prosecutor in any case, will give some guidance. They'll talk about what the law says. You know, what does it mean to intentionally commit homicide? What is wanton endangerment in Kentucky? They'll give legal instruction. They may well give a recommendation. But the grand jury is in a position where they can make their own decisions. They don't always have to go along with the prosecutor, although I think in this case it sounds like they probably agreed with the prosecutor's assessment.
Want to turn to the announcement that President Trump is scheduled to make at 5 o'clock this afternoon, his nominee to replace Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And we've talked a lot about it this morning from different angles. One of the things I wanted to talk specifically with you about, Jim, is Roe v. Wade, because there is a lot of concern among pro-choice people in the country that Roe v. Wade would be repealed if the court tilts in a certain direction. And what would it mean exactly from a legal standpoint if there was a reversal of Roe v. Wade?
Sure. Well, it is a very interesting situation, and one that I think the Supreme Court has been drifting towards for a little while, because you'll see right now, over the last maybe 2 years, that when any case comes up that deals with the question of precedent, of what they call stare decisis, that the Supreme Court justices seem to jump all over each other, establishing their positions. You know, how much deference do you give to a previous Supreme Court decision? So it's been interesting on totally unrelated cases to see the justices really focusing heavily on that idea of precedent. So it seems like there is going to be a case coming. It does seem like we may be in a position where there's a majority in the Supreme Court that's at least inclined to overturn Roe versus Wade. Part of what needs to be focused on, I think, is that Roe versus Wade, a reversal of it, doesn't suddenly outlaw abortion across the country. It basically sends everything back to the states for them to decide. Now, I know there's criticisms of that can be made, but it's not effectively outlawing abortion. It's just returning things to the states. And what's interesting there is there's also a way that they could uphold Roe versus Wade, but change the availability of abortion. And to describe that, I would just say kind of briefly that the Supreme Court decision dealt with the trimesters of rearing a child and basically said by the third trimester, that child is a viable fetus, and therefore the state can regulate or even basically outlaw abortion. Well, technology's changed in the 50 years. So they really could come back with a decision that says we're keeping Roe versus Wade, but a fetus is viable much earlier, maybe by the beginning of the second trimester, which would tilt the scale towards more regulation of late-term abortion, more regulation of the states when it comes to both the second and third trimesters. The first trimester would still be upheld as like the safe haven, where the woman's right to abort a pregnancy would still be upheld. So there's a lot of ways they could rule on this that might surprise people. But again, I think the starting point is it's not an immediate effective decision, even if they flat out overrule it, to say abortion is outlawed.
Jim Trusty, partner at IFRA Law here in Washington. And you can keep up with Jim on Twitter at Trusty Lawyer. Jim, thank you very much.
Thank you, Rick. Have a good weekend.
Indeed. It's 6:58, Saturday morning update. One quick note, you may be hearing about this in the news today. Dr. Anthony Fauci made some comments, and he said that COVID-19 vaccinations could start as early as November or December. And there's been a lot of controversy about, is the government rushing it for political purposes? But Dr. Fauci, speaking last night, saying that COVID-19 vaccinations could start as early as November or December. And there'll be more on that coming up later on this morning. Stay with us on the Saturday Morning Update.
Hello, class. Welcome to Zentertainment with Amy. I'm Amy. Today, let's center your mind, body, and all your entertainment options with Xfinity X1. Repeat after me. What should I watch? Good. Very zen. X1 gives you access to everything in one place. Live TV, and now the new streaming app, Peacock. So just breathe and trust in the voice remote. Show me Parks and Rec on Peacock.
I have a medical condition, all right. It's called caring too much, and it's incurable!
Soothing, right?
X1 just got even better, with Peacock Premium included. Now that's simple, easy, awesome. Get started with Xfinity Internet and TV for $54.99 a month for 12 months with no term contract required. Plus, get an upgrade for double the download speed free for a year. Go online, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires paperless billing and autopay. Ends 12/2020. Restrictions apply. New Choice Double Play customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees, including BTV fee extra and subject to change. After promo, regular rates apply. Peacock membership required. Actual speeds vary and not guaranteed.
WMAL-FM Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM WMAL, a Cumulus station.